On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk for our On Point podcast series brought to you by our good friends at Insurance Journal. And today we're talking with Stephen Hamilton and Rebecca Griffith. They are with Hawk Advisors. And for those that can surf safely, it's Hawk Advisors, ERS, hawkadvisors.com, down there in beautiful Roanoke, Virginia. It's a relatively new independent agency that's, well, it's been around a while, but Stephen, I think you and your partner formed this new company. So we want to talk about independent agency brand, core values, customer niches, and get into some discussion around aggregation and other topics that you may want to go into. So it's a real treat. It's always a real treat for me to talk with independent agents because the stories are so cool and they're so unique, yet there's a connection with the thousands of other independent agents around the country. But with that, Stephen and Rebecca Griffith, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, yeah, no, I think it's a cool story. I talked with you, Stephen, a number of years ago, I think, for some journalism I was working on, journalist piece. And you had a firm that was specializing in commercial lines, and you were also just getting started at that time, I think, with Keystone, which we can talk about a little bit later, the group out of Pennsylvania that is aggregating with agents. But, all right, so Hawk is all caps. There's obviously, it's an acronym, because acronyms, unlike initials, are words, and Hawk is some really good messaging around that I see in your logo. But it also is initials that stand for something. Can you walk us through what led you to this merger and the creation of the new brand?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be glad to. So we have two partners, myself and another gentleman, and we both were second-generation agency owners. I should say that our family started the agencies, both of them, back in the 1980s. And what we decided is that we had a really strong foundation as an organization between both my partner's agency and mine, but we did vastly different things. And this became somewhat of a vetting process, and I have to say that it probably was a decade or more of perpetuation planning. It was a conversation that I'm sure came up on his end with his family and certainly came up on my end as well, as you know, our parents were starting to get older. So when you're talking about perpetuation planning, there has to be a vision. And I think that part of the challenge for a lot of agencies is that you may have a vision and then you're thinking about your organization and you're thinking about how do I possibly execute this vision on my own. And for me, it wasn't about, you know, trying to join another agency that had three or four different locations and then becoming part of the sales team, even though that was certainly a role that I serviced. I felt like that I had a real passion for this business, and I was able to see the things that we did well as an organization, but also to follow the trends on what's happening in the industry. And I wanted to be on the forefront of that. So I needed to find somebody else who also had a common vision, maybe found themselves in a similar position to where I found myself. And so that started actually through a meeting with some Keystone partners in Virginia, and in just conversations with some folks, I identified one person, and we had 3 years of conversations before we actually decided to merge our agencies together. And we did vastly different things. There wasn't much overlap in our target market, but we sat down and we discussed that vision for 3 years. And that, to some people, may sound like a extraordinarily long period of time, and it certainly felt like it at times, because you are really trying to discover whether or not this is going to be the right fit, because this is certainly a long-term thing and you don't ever want to have to unwind it. So when we sat down and really drilled down and found out what our common vision is, that's when we started the development of Hawk. And Hawk is an acronym, and it stands for Hamilton and Wright, who is my partner's last name, Keystone. And we decided to use the hawk, and we used that in our logo, which would be the bird, the hawk. And the reason we like it so much is because it, you know, independence is something that we celebrate. It became part of our slogan, and it's part of our brand. And a hawk is a very independent bird. There's several other attributes of that bird that, you know, we tried to incorporate into our vision. And as silly as that sounds, you got to find a center at some point. And for us, it was, let's come up with a name, let's come up with the vision, let's come up with the brand, and then let's build a story around it.
Yeah, you mentioned vision. That's one thing hawks have, right? They got vision. They can see.
Right. Yeah, very good.
I think somebody told me once that when they're a mile away, it's like you're looking at your hand what they can see on the ground. So that's why they can spot those little furry creatures. Amazing. Eagles too. They have that ability to see. So I love vision as one of the brand components of a brand strategy, because it talks about a better world, really, that you're trying to create for your customers and for your employees and for your family. So it's great to talk about vision that way versus mission, which is really more pedantic, kind of like what you do. But the vision is what gets people excited about wanting to work with you, you know. So that's cool. So the whole thing about Hawk, though, is what I found interesting, because a lot of independent agents have sort of, I don't want to say they've fled cities and towns. They've certainly, many of them have a strategy where they kind of don't want walk-ins. They want to be, they want to reach out. They want to be the ones who are proactive. They don't want to be in the receiving end of walk-in business, et cetera, et cetera. Downtowns, certainly a town like Roanoke, there's so many towns like that around the country that are going through a tremendous renaissance and gentrification with homes, but also the whole downtowns are being rebuilt around certain industries. I know Roanoke has a couple of exciting industries, which I'm sure you can talk about. But what led you to putting such a cool office? From the pictures I've seen, it's just cool space. What is that all about?
Well, you know, one of the things that came up in the conversation that I had with my partner is I said, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if one day we could just literally unplug everything and just find someplace new to work from? And we just kind of looked at each other like, yeah, well, that will happen when hell freezes over, because, you know, there's no way we're moving all the servers and we're redesigning office space. And I happened to be at a dinner party and was talking to a friend's father of mine who was in the real estate business. And he was asking me how things were going, and I told him, well, you know, actually, some things have changed. We've decided to merge our agency. And he said, oh, really? And he said, well, are you guys going to consolidate? And I said, you know, at some point I think we are, and we probably have enough space in our current buildings to be able to expand, or at least to house the people that we currently have. And that was his question, was, well, what about growth? And I said, well, I don't know. We'll probably just figure that out later. And he said, you know what? Could we just set up a time to talk? And I said, yeah, we can do that. So he came in and we had talked to him. He said, ideally, where would you want to be? And the Greenway, which I'm sure that other cities are familiar with, these are the walking and biking paths. Originally, we said, well, we would love to be part of a Greenway system so that you've got traffic coming and going. And we already had this outdoor sort of theme nailed down in our minds. And so he showed us some properties, and it wasn't where we wanted to be. They were just older buildings, and it was going to be more of the same other than the location. So he brought up a space that was under construction, and the build-out wouldn't be completed for about 10 months. And it was exactly the square footage that we were looking for. It was on the bottom floor of a mixed-use building. So we've got two floors above us, approximately 80 apartments. And then we've got a 5,000 square foot facility all on one floor. And the beauty of this was that the developer was willing to do a design build. And when we heard that, we started running some numbers and thinking about it, and also keeping that word growth in our brain. And we sat down and we talked to some designers, and we told them what our vision is. We had already built out a template for our website, so they were able to follow along with what we were trying to achieve. They came back and brought us a concept, and we didn't have to really make any changes. We executed that concept, and if you see our space now, I think the most dramatic things that you would recognize is that we have a really large employee break room that feels more like your upscale coffee house that separates our training room, and our training room is it's mobile furniture that we can arrange into different configurations. It's a training room, so we use it for a conference, but we also house seminars. We've got more seminars planned this year, but we've just recently done one that was on protecting your business. And we had about 14 people from the business community attend. And the separation between the break room and the training room is a rollaway garage door, so we can roll that door up and really get some great interaction between the people that have attended the seminars and also members of our staff that will come out during break. So this whole idea of collaboration was what we really focused our ideas behind, in transparency. And there's a lot of glass in our building. Every service personnel, so all the account management team, is all out in an open work environment. And there's just some really cool features that don't really strike you as being, oh, this is Roanoke, Virginia. It's more like an innuendo of nature, an innuendo of where we're located. And it's really cool because people come into the space and you don't have to tell them. It's like they get the connection. And we hear all the time from people that they really feel like that this space is really pushing the envelope for not just the insurance industry, but just for the storefront of a service office.
Mm-hmm. No, it's cool. I think agents certainly have a role in being part of the community like that. And Rebecca, your title has client engagement in it. And what have you learned about clients of Hawk and the kind of things they're looking for? And is this the kind of, from a space standpoint, is this the kind of place where they feel it's cool to come to? Or do you think mostly you'll still be, you won't meet a lot of the people in that way? It'll be more a matter of sort of a digital connection.
We definitely have a digital connection, but we definitely still have a lot of traffic. Our personal lines, our advisors here, they still meet with clients. We have a conference room that they can meet in, but we also have a more personal conference space that's a little bit smaller for them to meet individually, one-on-one, and kind of have an open dialogue. I started here in January of 2017 and really kind of molded this position into three categories. More internal support and education for our staff here, external communication and marketing that we do within social media, but also client engagement and the experience that we do provide for our clients when they do come into our space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so client engagement is kind of a, I guess it's a buzzword, but it is really important these days. People don't want to have a distant relationship, really. They want to feel, well, people who are engaged are going to be more likely to refer, they're going to be more likely to renew their business, buy more things from you, that sort of thing. So what are some ways that you build that engagement? What kind of digital marketing do you, programs do you conduct?
Right now, honestly, branding has been a huge focus for our organization, and that really comes from understanding yourself as a company and what you want to do for your community. And one of the main things that we're tapping into now is understanding our core values, the importance of our community, and how to give back. We just launched a volunteer program for our employees here this year, where we offer them 4 hours of paid time off to use towards a nonprofit of their choice. But it's also a great way for us to let nonprofits in the community know that we can host lunch and learns here for them to come in and get more education and training about what it is that insurance means to them and their nonprofit. We host a lot of seminars and workshops, like Stephen was saying. But we are in the central of downtown, so we are in the heart of the community, and it's something we're definitely tapping into. As far as social media goes, we've really focused on Facebook, some personal blogging experiences, and just educating our clients on things that are happening, the emerging trends in insurance, and also just our recent seminar on protecting your business. We focused on financial protection, cybersecurity and also workplace violence and what to do in that type of situation. So we're always evolving and trying to get out content that is informational and valuable to our clients.
Yeah, I noticed in the name, the new brand name, Hawk Advisors, it doesn't say the word words insurance or agency. I'm sure that was intentional, but it may follow with how consumers are looking for advice. So obviously, they need to buy products, but they value advice. So that went into your thinking too, right?
Yeah, it did, and you're right. I think that being on the sales side of this business, I realized that insurance doesn't always have the most positive word association. So, you try to figure out different ways to be able to introduce yourself and the value that you bring. And for us, we knew that being a consultant and helping people navigate risk is a lot more appealing. And that's what we've decided to emphasize. And we realize there's keywords and there's buzzwords. And for us, we're not really trying to latch on to all the buzzwords because we don't want to seem like we're mimicking our competition. We do have keywords that we use in the office, and that's because we want our personnel to all be rowing together in the same boat. We don't want somebody, calling someone a colleague rather than calling somebody, part of their team. And those are just certain things that are cultural that we're working on as an organization. But you're right. We made a conscious choice not to use the word insurance.
Okay. Well, two of my favorite words are beer and wine. And being a Virginia resident like you guys are, talk about a renaissance, certainly a beer. I think it's driven largely by millennials who just love craft beer. The staggering number of beer, craft brew places as well, and warehouses, all kinds of properties, but and also the wineries, the farming and the growth of the wine industry in Virginia, now ranked number 5 in the U.S. behind the West Coast and New York State. It's unbelievable, and you guys are right in the mix of all of it, and Roanoke is one of those cities that, was known for tobacco or something back in the day, agriculture, now new industries. So these are niches for you guys. Maybe you could talk a little bit about those and any other niches you see growth in.
Yeah, we do focus on niches, and we're in a constant state of evolution and trying to figure out how we can further penetrate markets. But you nailed it. In Virginia, certainly craft beer scene is huge, and Roanoke is no exception. We won two really nice contracts with two large companies from the West Coast. One is Deschutes Brewery out of Bend, Oregon, and the other is Ballast Point, which I believe is out of San Diego, California. And they decided to locate their East Coast brewery operations and distributing out of the greater Roanoke area. So that's certainly going to bring some tourism. We've got the Blue Ridge Parkway, and that's been utilized by people who are taking sort of that like road to craft brewery. And there's more people on these tours, and that's bringing more tourism to the valley, which is fantastic. But in terms of actual real industry, I think probably the biggest catalyst that we have right now is Virginia Tech, who has put a medical campus and research institute in Roanoke. And right now we've got about 30 world-renowned researchers, and they've also got their own medical program, which is now spurred into biotechnology, and there is an agreement to double the size of that campus, including the research team, and bring some people from Virginia Tech with the focus on research and medical technology to Roanoke. And downtown living and the apartments and the things that are being built around that campus has just accelerated at a tremendous pace because of the opportunity. And for us, it's more about, how do we connect with those individuals that are deciding to live and work close to where we're hosting our seminars and workshops and our engagement events, because we know we got to tap in at sort of a micro level before we can focus on that macro big picture. So we're not quite there yet in terms of really building out some tremendous niches that we've gotten some real great penetration in. We do have ours that are here and that we own and that we've been doing for a long time, but we've got our eye on some others. And so we're being very careful at how we get into that industry. And a lot of that is just by finding people who are already in it and starting some conversations with them so they can guide and direct us.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about where you see growth for, as you look at your firm and growth, obviously it will involve new sales talent. Where do you find good producers? I'm not saying you've solved the issue, but where are they going to come from in the future?
You know, that's a great question. And one of the things I believe I left out when I was talking about this building is that certainly the intent behind this design was to create a work environment where we could attract and retain quality talent. And, you know, it's always interesting when I'm interviewing, I bring people in and we sit in this training room and we have a conversation, and then it turns into like an episode of House Hunters. Because we start going through the houses and I'm like the realtor showing them that, you know, dramatic back porch that has this mountainscape, you know. So we've got a gym that's right off the end of our office, and that's like the last room I take them to because it's at the very back of our building. And so we've kind of walked through and seen the break room, and you see the open workspace and all the cool like river panels that we have hanging from the ceilings. And then we go into the parking garage, which we have covered parking, and then we come out and I open that door and it's got our gym. And, you know, wellness is something that's a big part of what we're trying to talk about in our benefits division. And it's also something that we talk about on social media on Wednesdays. So we have Wellness Wednesdays, and so it's kind of a practice what you preach. So slowly we've started integrating that, and more people are starting to use that from our office. So our team is getting in there, and they're finding time during their lunch break to get a workout in. But you're right, finding talent is difficult, and we've got to have something that kind of pushes us over the top. We know that there's agencies that are larger than we are that can afford to pay more for the right talent. We're not afraid to teach people the world of insurance. And typically what I'm starting to look for now more than anything, just from a commercial standpoint, if I'm going to hire a producer that I want to really target kind of that middle market business, I'm looking for somebody who has business-to-business experience. And I also want to know from a self-development standpoint what they have done to really craft this skill. And salesmanship is about building relationships. And I really like those authentic people, you know, the people who are positive that you get a good sense of while they're here, that aren't going to throw their peers or their organizations under the bus. And I try to sort of trap them into that. And I want to kind of feel what kind of character this person has. And then we do get down to the nuts and bolts of, you know, tell me about your sales mentality, your philosophies, your pipeline, all of that good stuff that you would typically ask. But we are also using analytics. We've got a tool called Hireology that we use that posts this position to job boards. We're very careful at how we have designed our job description, so we're trying to find the right candidates. But typically, if somebody's going to apply to our job, they're going to have to answer some true and false questions, and there are some questions that, frankly, if you don't answer the right way, it's going to kick you out of the job search. So we're trying to be very careful at how we go about that and use analytics so that we can screen candidates and be a little bit more efficient.
Okay. Let me shift gears for a second, because I know we mentioned earlier Keystone, and that's how you met your business partner. I know Keystone is the one you chose, but the concept in general of aggregation is it's rampant throughout the independent agent and broker channel. There's a number of these things. Some of them are larger than others. Some are more regional than national. Some are really even local. Some are informal kind of networks and clusters and affiliations. But what do you see coming down the pike, and why are you involved in one of these?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We both probably, I could say that between the other agency and ourselves, because we joined Keystone prior to the merger, we went into it for different reasons. And for us, we really wanted to start a group benefits division, and Keystone was is a very strong catalyst for that in helping us to be able to structure that division and to get up and rolling. There were other components that Keystone was doing that we were familiar with from the aggregation standpoint, but I think what separated it for us versus some of the other aggregators is that there has to be this feeling of transparency. And, you know, being an equity owner within Keystone, we feel like we've got a little bit of direction over where the company is going and what type of corporate decisions are being made, because that's important. I think that's the one reluctance that most independent agencies have about joining an aggregator, is that actual feeling of loss of independence. And, you know, there's definitely things buried in the contracts about non-competes against partners and all that kind of stuff. And so this whole idea of, you know, sharing insights so that you can build knowledge and trust is a real thing, and you have to buy into it. For us, we felt like we could get a good sense of the organization to where we were comfortable of doing that, but we also felt like that we needed to protect ourselves in some regards, because you've got agencies that don't consider themselves to be aggregation companies, but they're certainly out buying agencies, buying independent agencies, and they're getting larger and larger by the day. And I think those larger conglomerate style agencies have a real influence over the industry. And you know, it's almost like you've got these special interest groups that are lobbying for what they want. And if you don't have a voice as an independent agency, and you're just, you know, kind of the small person on the sidelines that's not really generating the 80% of revenue that's propping up the carrier, then you feel like maybe you're not as important. And we wanted to make sure that we protected ourselves, and aggregation is one way to do that, so that we have some of that influence over the industry, so that our voice is heard.
Okay. All right, Stephen. Well, I think we and Rebecca, we're going to have to wrap up, but I thank you for taking the time, and good luck with Hawk. I think that's kind of a cool it's a cool brand. I think more agencies that have been around a while that may look like it's been some time since they looked at their brand and their messaging behind the brand. This is a good kind of roadmap that you guys have set out. So good job on that. Good job on the new space there. And just congratulations to you guys.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I think that the one thing that I would encourage people is to really think about the story that they're trying to tell. And I think for us, that started with just asking the question, why? You know, why are we in this business? And that has really helped permeate through our organization, because people have started to find more of a purpose behind their work when they understand, for example, for us, it's about making meaningful and rewarding insurance decisions. And I think that that's something that we have internalized as an organization, and it really helps when you're out talking to your clients to know that from an organizational standpoint that people are saying the same things.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Well, best of luck to you guys in the future, and we'll stay in touch.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for having us, Peter. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.